Hello, everyone. This is Rico, and this is another episode of Treks in Sci-Fi, your bi-monthly, bi-weekly, bi-monthly, I like better, dose of geeky goodness. Anyway, this is show 941. It is August 18th, 2024. I was trying to decide what to do this week for a show. By the way, I'm actually still a little under the weather. I'll talk a little bit more about that maybe at the beginning of the show. Nothing terrible, but I just wanted to let you know. Anyway, but I kind of bounced around on a few ideas. I still would like to get some of my friends from going to Comic-Con and do a show with them. But I hasn't been able to work that out yet, or I haven't put that together. Anyway, so because the show is a show that I really enjoyed a lot, and it just ended its run, I thought what I would do is do a podcast about the Umbrella Academy television show on Netflix. It is... they've done four seasons. The fourth season came out, I guess it's been out a couple of weeks now. I'll probably mention exactly when it came out. It's not been out that long. I actually watched, well, the final season is only six episodes, so it was a little quicker to get through anyway than the previous seasons were all 10 episodes, I think, for seasons one through three. So, but I really love the show. I really did like how they wrapped things up, even though there was, I wish we had more episodes for the final season. I'll talk more about it as I talk about the Umbrella Academy, but yeah, I want to cover that show. I'll kind of keep it fairly general, my commentary. I'll try to keep the last season pretty spoiler free. I won't talk about the ending. I won't talk about great detail, in the last season, even though I enjoyed it. I may touch on a couple little things, but suffice it to say, I'll definitely talk about the previous seasons. You know how I do these shows. I don't really just flat out spoiler things much. I kind of talk about them in general terms. But I'll try to give you a feel for the show. My main point with these things is, if you haven't watched The Umbrella Academy, I'll try to give you some ideas about, or not ideas, I'll give you some of my thoughts on what the show is about, why I liked it as much as I did, and maybe give you some just sort of general knowledge of it, so that, you know, maybe you'll go, hey, that show sounds pretty cool, I'll go check it out. That's usually my goal. I mean, if you've already watched the show and you enjoyed it, I assume if you've been watching it, you've enjoyed it. I don't know why you'd keep watching it if you're not enjoying it. Yeah, The Acolyte. Sorry, couldn't help myself. But the point is that, a lot of these shows, a lot of podcasts that I've done over the years are usually to point out things that, hey, if you guys haven't checked it out, if you have any, if you think my opinions mean something, always check out something. If you watch a few episodes and it doesn't appeal to you, that's cool. That's fine. Not everything is for everyone. But yeah, I really like the show a lot. It's definitely been one of my favorites. So I thought I would cover that this week. We'll talk about some other things at the beginning of the podcast. All that and more here on Treks in Sci-Fi. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Treks in Sci-Fi podcast.
Scotty, beat me up.
Fascinating.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
All right. Hello again. Hello again, everyone. Hope you guys are well. Yeah, I still have a nagging kind of, I don't know what it is. You know, I came back from Comic-Con, felt good for a few days after I got back. But later the week that I got back in on a Monday evening. By the end of that week, after coming back, I was feeling pretty poor. I was very tired. It was kind of acting like it was potentially COVID. I know some people that were at the con that I was with that got COVID. There was a lot of other people that were at the con that reported they got COVID. I took a couple of COVID tests. They were negative. I had a few days there where I was pretty tired and feeling poorly. And then I kind of got, I wouldn't say better, but it kind of went away a little. It wasn't too bad. I mean, I was still very, I didn't have the normal energy that I have most days, especially in the morning when I first get up. I'd be pretty, even if I slept quite a bit, I'd be like, man, I feel like I didn't even sleep. But usually after being up for a few hours, getting a little something to eat, I'd feel okay. And then I would say in the last 3-4 days, I've kind of felt that come back again. I was talking to Lynn and, you know, doing some online searching. You know, people are like, oh, maybe you have long COVID. And I'm like, well, I don't even know if I got COVID again or not. Really, it was mostly just some headache stuff, a general feeling of very fatigued and tiredness. Sometimes a little dizziness, but it was kind of the combination of that and tiredness. I had a little bit of a mild fever here and there. I have kind of a, I feel like my throat's kind of a little bit, it's not sore, but it feels like there's a, I've had like some swollen glands. You know how that is sometimes when you get sick? It's not super bad. It doesn't really hurt that bad to swallow or anything like that. But honestly, I'm like 90% okay. So it's kind of, I haven't gone to a doctor or anything. I don't even know what they would do. But it's just generally kind of irritating, you know? It's like, I don't want to say it out loud, but it would be like, you know, when I've gotten colds a lot of times, you know, I feel terrible for a few days, right? And then you get better and it kind of slowly fades away, but there's sort of an up and down to it, right? You know, or a down and an up. I don't know which way you call it, but you know, you feel really sick and then you slowly, you know, get better, right? This has just been this almost like just there kind of dangling little, it's like having a hangnail or something or an irritating, I don't know what to call it, but I mean, it's just like, it's, I don't feel that bad. I don't feel great, but I don't feel that bad. So it's, yeah, I don't know, something. And it's very, I've really been lucky with going to Comic-Con in San Diego and other Comic-Cons I've gone to, many of them over the years, the ones in Austin and other things I've done, I usually have been doing okay. And I don't know, not sure what happened this time. I mean, I'm assuming, I guess it doesn't necessarily mean it came from the con itself. Could have been from the airplane rides, could have been from since I got back, maybe, you know, just out and about getting, you know, doesn't necessarily mean whatever I, you know, had came from the con itself. So, but anyway, trying to push on through, I felt pretty tired this morning when I got up. Lynn and I actually just went to look at an open house, which I've mentioned, we've been toying with this idea. It was a really, really nice house, in a good location, but it's in this sort of back in the woods, down a dirt road kind of a situation. And it's not just a little bit of a dirt road. It takes you a little bit to get back there, and it's a very narrow little road. And it just, especially in Michigan with the weather that we have here, it's really unfortunate because it's a really nice house. A little on the pricey side. We were at this open house, and truth of it is, I have a feeling it's going to sell pretty quickly anyway, so it probably doesn't matter that much. I don't know. As the more of the time goes on that we've been looking at some houses, some pre-existing stuff, I keep coming back to the conclusion that, I don't know, maybe we just need to build a house again like we did here, because it's just, it's very hard. The real estate market is very tight, and things are selling instantly. And they also, I think the interest rates just dropped just a little bit too, which is even making it more difficult or more attractive when people are, you know, it's a seller's market, as they say. It's if you put your house up for sale, man, they're selling in a day or two. So it's, yeah, but we'll see. I don't know. We're still not in any great hurry, but I also, after months of doing this, I'm kind of a little worn out of just looking at places and go, yeah, nope, can't, nope, whatever. But anyway, so let us see what else has been happening, or what have I been up to or watching. I saw Deadpool and Wolverine. You know, I think I mentioned on the last podcast, Comic-Con show that I did, but I don't think I talked about it. I love the movie. Dylan and I went to see it when we were out in San Diego at Comic-Con on Saturday night of the con at a nearby theater. And I loved it. I really, really did love it. And it was really good. And I'd really like to see it again in the theater too, because we saw it in 3D, but I would like to see it in regular D, regular D, 2D. I hate to say it's not 2D, right? I don't know. The whole 3D thing is weird, but I would like to see it again. And I also want to go see that Alien Romulus movie that just came out. I thought that's that looks good, and Chris went to see it. He liked it. I've seen a few other people post online that they like it. The biggest thing I hear about it is it's like, oh, it's an alien movie, so here we go. Here's this alien thing in here, right? Here's a chest burster. Oh, here's another one. And here's a big old alien, and here's another big old alien, and here's this kind of a scene, and this. It's kind of like checking off the boxes a bit, but I mean, that's okay. I saw some people that were really rating it pretty high, you know, that was just like they loved Aliens and the first Alien movie, and then Romulus, this alien, which, I don't know, is that the planet they're on? Is that why that, you know, there's no Romulans in it, by the way. Star Trek joke. But they're rating it just below those first couple of movies, so I think that's impressive. That's pretty surprising. Although there's some pretty clunker alien movies out there, like the third one, I think, is in my mind especially. I don't know. I wasn't really that much of a fan of the last couple that they did, even Prometheus. I don't know. It just didn't feel like an alien movie exactly. So maybe Romulus will be feeling more like it. But yeah, so that's that. I did watch a movie last night that's not too long, or it's hasn't been out that long. Fly Me to the Moon, with Channing Tatum and Scarlett Johansson. So that movie, I think it came out in early July, maybe. This is a movie that's focused or is set during the late 60s space program. Scarlett Johansson plays someone sort of in advertising whose her goal is to basically, you know, sort of pump up NASA in the public eye and get them funding and help with that and all. I don't know how much of this movie was supposed to be sort of real versus if they had, you know, I know NASA was always struggled with funding and things. Hang on one second. I'm going to pause this just to get a drink. Yeah. So, and then the Channing Tatum is like launched director or whatever, kind of in charge of the whole thing, pretty much. And there's a little romance thing going on with them. The other thing about this movie that was in the trailers and out there was the idea that the government wanted to create a fake moon landing because they wanted to be able to control the narrative and control. They were concerned that even when they insisted on putting a camera on the lunar landing module, you know, that, you know, well, what if something doesn't quite go right? They wanted to have more or less a backup. And then it turns, well, I won't tell you everything, but I think there was some press out there and even some people's opinion that they kind of downed this movie or they kind of jumped on it because of this idea of, you know, there's always been this thing out there where people say, oh, the whole moon landing never happened. It was all faked, which is that's crap. And you know, there's a lot of evidence and just I don't even want to even really give it consideration. But so I think, though, because of this rumor or this idea that has been thrown out there, it's like the stupid flat earth people or whatever, that this movie, because they sort of entertained this idea that there was a kind of a cover up of a fake moon landing thing going on, that it gave it a little credence. And if you watch this movie, I don't know, I thought the movie was very charming, and I love, you know, I grew up, I was a little kid in that time, so really little kid, and it was like the space program and NASA and astronauts and landing on the moon was such a part of our U.S. culture, not even really the U.S. only. I mean, I would say the world, truthfully, that it's very, there's a lot of nostalgia there going on. I mean, I can remember watching, the, you know, when, you know, we first touched foot on the moon, you know, on our little TV watching it. I mean, it's just so these kinds of movies are very appealing to me. I like any kind of a film that revolves around or TV show that revolves around this. This is why, I've enjoyed some of what they've done with these kinds of things in the recent times. I got to watch that. Is it First Man? Is it called, with Ryan Gosling? I think it's on Netflix maybe now. I haven't watched that movie yet. But anyway, point is, this is the kind of stuff. I eat this kind of stuff up. And like that For All Mankind TV show, that Ron Moore show. So I enjoyed the movie quite a bit. I mean, I kind of even got a little misty-eyed a couple times, you know. And it's just, I like it. And I thought that they treated the idea that this idea of faking that, you know, they do it in a way that it doesn't, I don't think it takes anything away from the landing of man on the moon at all. So that's probably more than I need to talk about that. But anyway, I would recommend that movie. If Channing Tatum and Scarlett Johansson are super, super charming together. And Channing Tatum, you know, all of a sudden he's, you know, Gambit and Deadpool and Wolverine, and he's in this movie, you know, he's a little bit of a renaissance going on, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's not the right word. I don't know. I've always thought he's a pretty good actor, actually, and he's really good in this movie. So, all right, I should wrap up this. I don't think there's anything else. Television is a little bit on the... I'm watching some other stuff, but it's not necessarily sci-fi. I've been watching this second season of True Detective. I really enjoyed the first season of that show, but I never got back to it. So now I'm trying to work my way through the other seasons. I've got one more episode of season two, and then I'll probably jump on to season three. But the other one that just recently I watched and finished up is, and it's going to be the topic of the show, the main topic, and I'm going to talk about it for the rest of today's podcast, is The Umbrella Academy on Netflix. I don't know when it started, 4 or 5 years now. I'll look at the dates. I'll pull that up here on Wikipedia and all that stuff in a minute. But I've loved the show since it started. I think some people always seem to jump into, oh, you know, the first seasons were good, but later it wasn't as good. And I always have this thought when people say stuff like that, where it's the freshness of things that sort of changes things. I get what you're saying a little, and I think there are some TV shows. I don't know. I thought this show was strong all the way through. I even enjoyed the last season. I would say it's maybe not its strongest season, but I thought it was an interesting way of going with what they did in the final season. So I've enjoyed it all along. The thing, as I've said many times on the podcast, the thing about the show that is, to me, the biggest part and the most appealing are the actors / characters, basically the characters. They're all really fun, interesting, different, unique, great to watch. And it is based on a comic. And I think a lot of comic book characters are pretty well defined. You know, people always, I wouldn't say maybe not always, but there are people that poo-poo comics of being kind of comics, and there's not much depth there. And I'm like, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Comic book character like Spider-Man, and granted, the Umbrella Academy comics haven't been around as long as Spider-Man, but comics define characters pretty well. If you've done more than a few years of a comic or whatever, you know those characters usually pretty well. Better than most TV show characters, or even a book, I would tell you. Even a book, you know, between you get artwork for the character too, which can convey a lot. But characters in comics are very well drawn out, and literally and figuratively both. So anyway, Umbrella Academy, love it. And let's start off with, I'll go back in time. Let's play the trailer to season one for The Umbrella Academy, and then I'll come back and we'll talk more about the show.
In October 1989, 43 women around the world gave birth. None of these women had been pregnant when the day first began.
How much do you want for it?
I have adopted six children. gifted with abilities far beyond the ordinary, I give you the Umbrella Academy.
Does anyone wish to speak?
He was a monster.
Everything about our family is insane. It always has.
Is that my skirt?
Oh, yeah, this.
It's very breathy on the bits.
Nice to see nothing's changed.
I jumped forward and got stuck in the future. Do you know what I found? Absolutely nothing.
When's it supposed to happen?
In 8 days.
Oh, shit.
Ground. There's someone out there who's trying to stop me from preventing the apocalypse.
We need the full force of the Academy.
Bingo.
Yay, sisters.
Yay, sisters.
Get up. We're going.
Where?
Save the world.
Oh, is that all?
All right, so there you are with the first trailer for season one of The Umbrella Academy. I have talked about this show a little bit before. I think mainly when after maybe the first season was out back, 4 or 5 years ago now. But it's definitely worth its own show or own podcast. So let's talk a little bit about the background on this. I'll read a little bit from the Wikipedia entry for the Umbrella Academy TV series. The Umbrella Academy is an American superhero television series based on the comic book series of the same name, written by Gerard Way, illustrated by Gabriel Ba, and it is published by Dark Horse Comics, created for Netflix by Steve Blackman. You'll see his name a lot on the credits, executive producer, and developed by Jeremy Slater. It revolves around a dysfunctional family of adopted sibling superheroes who reunite to solve the mystery of their father's death. Their father's death and the threat of imminent or near immediate apocalypse. The rest of this isn't important. Blah blah blah. Talks about we'll talk about the cast and each character they play in here in a second. Let's see. The first season was released on Netflix on February 15th, 2019. In April of 2019, Netflix reported that 45 million households had watched season one during its first month of release, becoming one of the most streamed series of the year. The second and third season subsequently followed on July 31st, 2020 and June 22nd, 2022, and respectively. And in August of 2022, the series was renewed for a fourth and final season, which just was released on the 8th of August. It was released on Netflix, all six episodes. First three seasons received positive reviews from critics, while the final season was met with more mixed reception. So, yeah, we'll talk about that later in the show. I've already touched on it slightly. I think there's a few reasons for that. I don't completely deny it, and it's very hard to talk about it without talking about kind of what happens, especially in the last episode. But I did not really feel that way. The show very much satisfied me by the end, and I was happy with how it played out. Let me talk a little bit about, and I actually, even though I'm a big comic book fan, I think I've only read the first couple of issues of the comic book series, but now it kind of makes me want to pick up, I don't know if there's a full collection or if I have to buy a few different like soft cover books or whatever, but let me talk a little bit about the comic side of this. So the Wikipedia entry on the comic side, Umbrella Academy is an American comic book series created by and written by, I already mentioned, Gerard Way and illustrated by Gabriel Ba. The first six-issue limited series by, which was called the Umbrella Academy Apocalypse Suite, was released back on September 14, 2007 and February 20, 2008. It won Eisner Awards, the second series, Then when there was a long hiatus, that second series was in 2008. After a hiatus, it returned in 2018. And then they talk about the television side of things. So it looks like there are 32 issues with a little bit of a, let's see. So they're saying 25 plus six short stories in one and a one-shot issue. So there's not a ton of, looks like there's a two different collected editions, the Apocalypse Suite and then one called Dallas. The influences, the guy who worked on this, the comic, he says Gerard Way was biggest influences on this was his favorite writer, Grant Morrison, the work on Doom Patrol with DC Comics, which makes sense. There's a lot of similarities to Doom Patrol and the Umbrella Academy. They're all very quirky, kind of messed up characters, truthfully. None of them are very, they all have major issues and major problems. These are not well-adjusted people, and everything's just fine with them. And of course, a lot of that has to do with their origin. You know, these are, I'll go back to the wiki on the television show. So a little bit more here on the background. The Umbrella Academy is set in a universe where 43 women around the world gave birth simultaneously at noon on October 1st, 1989, although none had shown any sign of pregnancy until labor began. Seven of these children are adopted by eccentric billionaire Sir Reginald Hargraves, who all the Umbrella Academy people, the different characters, all call him Dad, basically. Or Reggie at times, or Hargraves. But and then he ended up giving them all of them numbers. Hargraves gave the children numbers rather than names, but their robot mother, Grace, later named six of them. There's Luther, Diego, Allison, Klaus, Ben, and Vanya. Number five, who's probably my favorite of the Umbrella Academy characters, I don't think number five is ever given a real name. He everybody calls him Five or Number Five, mostly Five. They just call him, and I think that's interesting. He's got a very crazy background on him. He looks like a kid pretty much still, but he basically gets stuck in an alternate timeline for a long time. And I think I can't remember exactly why, if it has to do with his special unique powers and gifts, but he doesn't really age normally. So mentally, he's been around for a long time, because when he was stuck in the past or stuck in an alternate timeline, that all that time transpired, but he didn't really get that much older. Okay, so decades went by, and he he's kind of essentially an old man living in a kid's body, more or less. So I think that I just find it very interesting, because he has the kind of these sort of older, wiser kind of, you know, way of doing things. Everybody, you know, he kind of is the default kind of leader in a way sometimes. You know, he's usually a lot of times calling the shots, even though Luther isn't technically designated number one. Luther's the big guy, muscled guy, and he's kind of like this, has this partial ape DNA inside of him or something. So he's got all this fur all over his body if you see him when he's not clothed. But he's not really a leader so much. You know, really Five ends up a lot of times throughout the seasons calling a lot of the shots. So let's see. Let's play another trailer, season two. By the way, I think start at season one, obviously, but watch a few episodes, and I'm sure the show will hook you. But yeah, those early seasons, there's a lot of stuff that happens. And you know, it's super interesting to me, just for many reasons. And you know, I love comics and superheroes and quirky people. And, you know, it checks all the boxes here. So here is the trailer to season two of The Umbrella Academy.
Loser! Diego!
This can't be right.
What the hell did we do now?
What was that?
The end of the world, November 25th, 1963.
And where am I now? Dallas 10 days earlier.
I need to find my family.
First off, I want to say we brought the end of the world back here with us.
Oh my God, again? My cult is going to be so pissed. I told him we had until 2019.
We have until Monday.
Everything in our new lives is connected from the plot to assassinate the president. That can't be a coincidence.
None of us are supposed to be here, right?
We know something changes the timeline. We have to make it right again. Before everyone and everything we know is dead.
Who are those guys?
They're not here to sell vacuums.
The commission will hunt us down wherever and whenever we go.
What is that, like a wingman?
You don't know anything about
me. I know everything. You are an open book written for very dumb children.
Klaus, is Ben here?
No, unfortunately, ghosts can't time travel.
Are you kidding me? Rundown. Luther, super strength. Klaus can commune with the dead. Allison can rumor anyone to do anything.
Except she never uses it.
I heard a rumor. You punched yourself in the face.
God damn it!
Yeah, so there's season two is quite a bit going on in that season, and very good follow up to season one. A lot of things happening, and it starts to, it's set in the past. It's set in the 60s, like you heard in the trailer. A little bit revolves around the Kennedy assassination. And yeah, there's a lot of, throughout the show, there's a lot of time travel and a lot of end of the world things that are going on. A lot of different things like that that permeate and, impact the characters, and they get... They just get in all kinds of difficult situations. Let me go. I haven't really run down the characters completely yet. So Luther, played by Tom Hopper, he's number one. He's the one. He's the one that they. Well, let me just read this. It'll be easier. He's an astronaut with super strength who lived on the moon for 4 years on a mission from his father. He was severely injured during a mission, and is the only sibling who did not leave the team. To save his life, Reginald ejected him with serum derived from a gorilla that turned his upper body into that of a gorilla. He's actually got fur kind of, it's not just his upper body, but most of it's there. He's much bigger and stronger and all that from that. Luther I like because he's just kind of an open book. He doesn't have a lot of complications. There's Diego, played by David Castaneda. I think that's how you say his name. He's technically number two. He's a rebellious troublemaker with a mild telekinetic ability to curve the trajectory of moving objects, including knives and bullets. Luther is essentially like Deadshot or whatever. He can't miss essentially, and he can sort of redirect objects, like it says here. And yeah, he's fun. He's a fun character. Allison Hargraves, she's number three, played by Emmy Raver Lampman. She has the ability, she has this thing called I Heard a Rumor. Essentially, what she can do is control minds and bend reality with a phrase. She basically can go to somebody and say, I heard a rumor that you are always hungry. And so the person immediately will be always hungry, that kind of a thing. So, yeah, interesting idea there for that character. What I want to say, too, is in the last season, in season four, everybody's powers kind of got twisted and changed a little bit, pretty much. But up until then, they're pretty consistent. Klaus Hargraves, he's number four. Robert Sheehan, it plays him. He's a flamboyant drug addict, possessing the ability to communicate with the dead and temporarily making them corporeal. So he can sort of let the dead, like the spirit of someone, inhabit his own body. He also eventually discovers he has the power of immortality. So he can kind of revive himself or heal his wounds and things like that, which is pretty handy. And then probably one of my, like I said, maybe my favorite character, number five, who's played by Aidan Gallagher, is a boy with the ability to jump through space and time. So he can pretty much go anywhere and to any time. He's had different abilities, controlling over his ability to control this has been sort of mixed at times. Let's see. I mentioned that before. He eventually, returning to his own time in the pilot episode causes him to revert to his 13-year-old body, played by Gallagher. And then in season three is revealed that Five was the founder of the commission. That doesn't matter right now. Okay. All right. So, and then there's some other secondary care. Oh, sorry. I forgot one other one of the main. We have Victor or Vanya. This is played by originally Ellen Page played Vanya when the show first started up through. She ends up transitioning in real life to Elliot Page. And they use that they put that into the show. And then so Vanya becomes Victor. And Vanya's abilities to begin with are basically she can sort of change sound into physical force. So the more sound, like there's in the early episode, she plays the violin and then she can change that into a force to stop somebody or to hurt them or whatever. But then again, like I said, in the third season, Ellen Page becomes Elliot Page in real life. So they also put that into the show and Vanya becomes Victor and is now a he. And then they, again, like I said, they work that into the show. And actually Victor has quite a bit in the last season going on. So yeah. And I think I was glad that they worked that into the show. I think it made sense for the show. I think, this is a quirky show with unusual people with unusual abilities. And I think for them to try to not put that in the show, I don't even know how they would have done that. But I think it works in the show pretty well. I don't think that's anything that happened in the comics. Like I said, I still need to read the comics. I guess the other really big character is Sir Reginald Hargraves. He's played by Colm Feore, I think. The Umbrella Academy's adoptive father and a billionaire industrialist who in 2019 dies by suicide, leading to the planned reunion of the children. But in an alternate timeline, he's revealed to still be alive. Yeah, so there's a lot going on in this show in alternate realities and alternate timelines. You think the MCU, and especially what we saw in Deadpool Wolverine, you think the MCU has alternate timelines and universes? Yeah, they got nothing. Go see the Umbrella Academy if you want to see some alternate realities. So, all right, let's play. Let's move on and do number three, season three trailer for the Umbrella Academy. One other thing that I want to say about the show, one of the great things about the show that I love is their ability to work music and popular music and songs that fit the moment. I really love basically the show's got great music and they work it into the show quite a bit. There's usually several musical numbers or musical situations or scenes in each season. I wouldn't say there's one every episode, but there's a lot of them. And I find myself watching those scenes on YouTube over and over. There's a really good dance one in season one, especially. That's great. And then there's just one. There's two or three good ones, really good ones, usually each season. So I love music. So and I love how they work it into the show. It's not just they're playing in the background, but it means something. And I think they do a great job with it on this show. So anyway, here is season three trailer for The Umbrella Academy.
This isn't your home.
What are you talking about? This is The Umbrella Academy.
This is the Sparrow Academy.
Shit.
When we jumped here, we created a time paradox. Our little paradox brought forth a freaking Kugelblitz.
What the hell is a Kugelblitz?
Essentially, we're screwed.
Everybody else can see Ben, right?
Yeah, and he's a complete dickhead.
They're all dickheads.
Dickheads who can fight.
Next person to say dickhead is getting a punch to the throat.
Dickhead.
We caused a paradox, and that paradox is swallowing things.
How long do we have?
4, maybe 5 days before the rest of existence is blitzed.
Not to mention we've been replaced by a bunch of blobs and cubes and birds and shit.
Your team's good, but I don't think you're better than me. I ended the world twice. And you're just meat and spandex.
Dad didn't adopt us as babies, but those babies still existed here. So, if you ever see your other self,
kill them.
Sleep with them.
Avoid them.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Oh, though? Come on, as if you wouldn't climb Luther Mountain.
If I kill you, do we get our Ben back?
What the hell did you just say?
What are you, their mascot?
More like their ringer.
It's a ballroom business!
Been looking for you.
Spoiler alert.
All right, so season three, this one's a lot of fun this season because they get to basically, like you hear in the trailer, there's this alternate timeline version, whatever, where there's a Sparrow Academy and they're the Umbrella Academy. But so they get to sort of more or less fight their counterparts. And, it's always, well, I'm number one. No, you're number one or whatever, that kind of stuff. So. There's a lot of really interesting things in this season, in all the seasons there's a ton of stuff that happens, and I really like just the mix of these different characters together. It would have been cool to see some of this, a little bit more. I think one of the things leading into now, we'll talk a little bit briefly about the final season, but I think there was a little thought that we could get some of those characters, a little bit of overlap, maybe have some of those characters back in this season, but that doesn't really happen. And again, I'm not going to spoil things too much or anything like that, but, I think that's fine. They only could do so much and they only were going to do 6 episodes, it looks like. So I think there's not enough room for another 5 or 6 different characters and to play around with them. Plus, there's other things that happen in this final, in the third season at the end that doesn't really make that, I don't think, work very well. So anyway, and then that gets us to season 4, which I still, like I say, and I know that there's been mixed things online. I think it was a couple of things with that. I think the shorter season did not help. I'm not quite sure why that ended up happening. I don't know. If they just said, well, we're going to do one more season, but it's not going to be 10. It's only going to be, it's going to be a shorter season. They almost cut it in half, really. They went from 10 episodes to 6 episodes. And I started to notice that. I didn't realize when I started to watch season 4, I watched, the first 3 episodes or something like that. And then I'm going, or maybe even up to episode 4, and I said, so how many episodes is this season? And it was feeling weird, the pacing a little bit. And then I go, oh my gosh, there's only 6. Oh, I think I know really what it was that triggered it. I think I got to episode 4, and then that little thing on your Netflix when you're watching, it'll say, only 2 episodes to go. And I'm like, what? And at first I thought, oh, well, maybe they didn't put all episodes out at once. And I'm like, nope, they did, and there's only 6. So I think one of the reasons people are not as super happy with season 4 is that. I think that kind of made it a little bit rushed. I don't think we got some of the you know, really cool character moments as much in season 4. But I think the real big thing is, and I'm not going to spoil it, is the last episode, and especially the way the show ends. I like I said, I thought it was fitting and it made sense to me. I could see why people weren't happy with it. I'm okay with it. And it's a comic book show, or it's a TV show based on a comic. So I know how these things go, and it doesn't really, again, I thought it was, it worked for me okay. I get some people maybe were a little, you know, unhappy with it, but I'm really dodging around it. Let's just say with everything they'd gone through in the previous 3 seasons and all the stuff that had been happening with timelines and apocalypses, it really made sense. You know, it comes out that kind of they're kind of the rogue element, or they're kind of sort of the cause of all the problems that have been happening. So, you know, they got to do something about that. But anyway, so I think I'll play the last trailer for the final season for you, and then I'll come back and we'll wrap this up with look at this really cool series.
Our world is changing. Has changed. There are some among us gifted with abilities far beyond the ordinary. I have adopted 6 such children. I give you inaugural class of the Umbrella Academy.
And what? Smile!
No.
We're back. We're back. Out the way.
Get in!
A guy in the front!
Everyone in!
Why are you yelling?
Shut up!
First mission back!
Hell yes! Let's go kill this bitch!
This is a rescue mission.
Right.
Children bicker constantly.
Yeah, and we drive each other crazy. Ah! But when things go to hell, they're there for me.
God, what a bunch of losers.
All right, there you go with the season 4 trailer. And again, it's hard to talk about this. I don't want to spoil it for those that haven't seen it yet. This is actually probably one of the podcasts. I don't tend to do podcasts on things practically as they've just come out. I usually give it some time. Maybe a movie, if it's a really big movie, I've talked about it a week or two later. Like Deadpool Wolverine. Even that I haven't really talked about in detail except how good it was and how much fun it was. But The Acolyte, sorry, why did I say that? I know why I said it. While I paused the recording, while I recorded the trailer, I was starting to watch Star Wars Theory, the guy that does that show. It's too complicated to go into, but, you know, he put out a lot of videos during The Acolyte, and I watched a few of them about, you know, his problems with the show. And I agreed honestly with him on a lot of his problems with the show. I mean, I think it was not written well. I think the characters were not all that engaging, in my opinion. They certainly were not good characters. You know, like I'm like, okay, who's the hero here? It was funny. And my mind is now bouncing and playing ping pong a little bit on you. But I've been playing around with the multimedia radio, blah, 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 my new car. And I like to, a lot of times I'll play some John Williams music and I say, hey, you know, play blah, 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 right? Play. And a lot of times, like the Superman theme, for example, super is one of my favorite pieces of music by John Williams ever. Just favorite pieces of music, period. And it's very uplifting and fun, but they, what they do sometimes when I have it play that, it is it'll play other John Williams music. I'm getting back to my point. So it played some music from their first movie, like the end throne room scene music, you know, that leads into the end credit music. And it got me all nostalgic for that original Star Wars film in 1977 and how amazing and refreshing and just fun and heroic and romantic and just pure. It's just so nice to watch that, and so nice to that feeling of from that original movie and even throughout the, you know, the other two movies of the original trilogy. I have not felt like that since then. And, you know, okay, I totally get, you know, you've got to change Star Wars to some degree and all that, but where is the fun? Where is the romance? Well, the romance in The Acolyte. That's a little creepy romance, in my opinion. But it's just that feel of that, you know, I know you can't recreate it. I know there's a lot of nostalgia going on. I get all this, but where are the good characters? You know, and I don't want to bash, you know, I don't want to spin off into talking about Star Wars here. I got to get back to finish up the podcast. But my point is, when I was, when I paused the recording, I was watching a little bit of Star Wars Theory talk. And that's why I said The Acolyte earlier. Sorry for the slip on that. And then I had to explain it a bit. But Umbrella Academy, if you've not watched this show, let me just sum up some things here. So you should be watching it. If you like the kind of things that we talk about on Trek, that I talk about mostly, and sometimes guests, that we talk about on Treks and Sci-Fi, and that we talk about on the forum, not the forum. God, what is wrong? Maybe I do have, you know, long COVID or something. My brain is all messed up. But anyway, you know, things on the, well, what was the forum and now the Facebook group, but all those things, comic books, you know, fun, quirky characters, just exciting things, emotional scenes. Yeah, you definitely check out the Umbrella Academy. Now it's all out there, all four seasons on Netflix, 36 episodes total. And I want to get the comics and read them now. I kind of thought there were more than only 32 issues and a couple of compilations that were out, but not a lot to catch up on. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoy this podcast. I'm going to just wrap it up here. It's going to be a little less than an hour, I think, for a show this week. But that's okay. I'm getting kind of still, like I said, a little under the weather. So this is probably the most I want to put out for this week. I'll be back in a couple of weeks. Still expect to sometime get together with some con folks, con friends, and talk about the cons. Want to still check in with Dylan about what he thought about the Las Vegas Trek Con. He was there for, I think he only went for one day, but I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. And yeah, that's about it, folks. Hope you guys enjoyed this. I'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Until next time, actually in 2 weeks, I should say, should announce it is 2 weeks away. Yeah. It'll be Labor Day weekend here. And what that means to me over the last many years is it's going to be a live show. Probably live show, I think, and anniversary show. It'll be, gosh, 19 years of the podcast. Yeah, I think one more year should do it, right? 20 years of the podcast. It's a nice round number to end on. So anyway, that show will probably be Sunday that weekend in 2 weeks from now. I'll post up something on the Facebook group. Just go to the, you know, Facebook group, you know, and yeah. It'll there'll be a posting up there. I tend to do it in the afternoon, early afternoon, Eastern time. So yeah, hope you guys can watch, and it's always fun to do those shows. But that's the plan, and I'll talk to you then. Bye. Cast in a golden light. No dress rehearsal. This is our life. That's where the hornet stung.
This has been a Rico Dosti podcast production.